Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. Hope you all are doing well on this beautiful and lovely Tuesday morning. The sun is shining. The sky is nice, crispy, and blue. And as we said last night, today is just one of those days where the trees are going to look a little bit greener. No doubt about it, for me at least, the best win of the season last night. It was a big win for the Yankees. We'll hear from Aaron Boone in just a little bit. He put it as, it wasn't pretty, but it was gritty. I actually kind of disagree. I think it was quite pretty in many regards, but certainly agree in the fact that it was a gritty win. It was a, excuse my French, this is my one bad word for this morning show, but a badass win. That's what that was last night. The first extra innings victory the Yankees have had all season long. And of course, when it comes on the road, that's even more of a surprise. Going to, you know, extra innings last night, which at the time, given where we were, it's like, all right, get it to extra innings, but you're not feeling great about it because you know how bad the Yankees have been in those scenarios since this rule, the Manfred runner, came into place as a 2020. They've been the best team in baseball at home in extra innings. They've been, I believe, the worst team, if not one, I think, yes, the worst team, definitely the worst team on the road in extra innings. So the fact that they were able to pull that one out last night, we're in a good mood today, yo. That was a big, big win. Of course, comes against a good team in the Cleveland Guardians. And yeah, we'll have game two tonight. Of course, we'll be live for game two. Excuse me. Like we were last night, we should be live throughout this entire week with watch parties. Only one in question is tomorrow afternoon. It just depends what time we're going to be recording baseball today with Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe. But nonetheless, here we are live. Another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. We're live 5 days a week. So, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And yeah, I'll see you guys tonight for the watch party. Game two, Gerrit Cole and the bump against Slade Ciccone. Anyways, we got a bunch to break down. And this is going to be an episode where majority of what we talk about is going to be last night's game. Now, we do have some other news and notes to get into, which we'll do afterwards. A little insight on that. Jason Dominguez is rehabbing today and Wednesday. Yanks are off on Thursday. Remember, Boone said he's not ruling out Jason joining the Yankees on this road trip. Now, it's obviously not going to be against Cleveland, but we're off Thursday. Friday, we're in Toronto. I'm holding out hope and just reading the tea leaves. I think Jason Dominguez might be activated for that series this weekend in Toronto, which would be awesome. Stanton, by the way, Boone said this upcoming homestand starting on Tuesday, so a week from today, against the White Sox, they expect Stanton to rejoin the team, be activated at some point during that homestand, so things are looking up. Great win last night, which we're about to break down in full detail. There's so much to talk about from yesterday's win. It felt like a playoff game. It was awesome. But yeah, things are trending up. We got Jason hopefully back on Friday. Stanton back a week from today. We'll break all that stuff down later on. We'll do a little bit of a game two preview as well. Again, tonight, game two, Gerrit Cole versus Slade Ciccone. And it's 6:40 first pitch on Amazon Prime. So remember that. Amazon Prime tonight. Anyways, with all that said, let's get into last night. And of course, we got to play a little bit of sound from yesterday. 10th inning after a gritty way to get there, as Aaron Boone put it. 5-5 game, extra inning runner, Cody Bellinger up at the plate. And yet again, of course, as always, he delivered.
Pitch. Bellinger grounds it through into left field, a base hit. Sanchez will score. Here comes Rice. It's cut off. He will score. It's a huge two-run single for Cody Bellinger. Here's the 3-2. Roll to the right side. Jazz gloves and ends it. The Yankees win it 7-5 in 10. Bellinger, the offensive hero in the top of the inning. And what a job from Bednar, both in the ninth and then here in the 10th.
Seems like you're taking an exhale after that one.
Yeah. Wasn't pretty, but very gritty. A lot of really winning things that guys did. And everyone obviously involved, except Cruiser. Yeah, just it's a really tough team over there. And to get the lead, you know, have it go away and kind of hold the line enough. And just a lot of winning plays there to get us to the finish line.
I think that's a perfect way to put it. A lot of winning plays. And I actually want to start out with the eighth inning because, first of all, even the way it concluded with the Brian Rocchio play, which we can talk about that in just a moment, the entire game had a playoff feel between basically every pitcher being deployed on both ends. The Yankees, as Boone mentioned, the only pitcher that we did not use was Fernando Cruz. Now, he got up at some point. He was not used. Everybody else was. And I don't know exactly, but for Cleveland, I want to say it was the same thing. This was kind of felt like all hands on deck type vibes. It really did. Not to keep saying the same line over and over again, but I got to imagine you guys agree when we're watching. Like last night had the buzz of a postseason game. It felt like no matter what, whether, you know, despite it being June 8th, that was a game that both teams clearly wanted to win bad. And the Yankees needed to win that game. And had they not, obviously we'd be back in second place because the Rays did beat the Red Sox last night. But we, of course, prevail. We remain tied now going into today with the Rays first place in the American League East. But I want to start out in the eighth inning because I mentioned it while we were live on the watch party. The way that inning transpired was, so the Yankees are down by a run, and we'll break down the bullpen and just, we'll break down everything. It was an inning to where, you know, you have the leadoff single by Trent Grisham. He works it to 3-2. Tremendous at bat. He stays hot, by the way. Two hits last night, as well as he had a walk as well. His OBP is now above 340. Ben Rice gets it to 2-2, keeps fighting off, lines a single into right field. You get first and third, nobody out. Paul Goldschmidt, some may say he shouldn't have swung 3-0. Nonetheless, he ties the game up, beats out that would have been a double play. So he ties the game at 5. And the reason I want to start here is because that was an inning where I was proud to be a Yankee fan. And I was imagining, like, you ever be watching a game and say you have a friend over that doesn't know anything about baseball and just associates the Yankees with how, you know, somebody who just randomly wears a Yankee hat associates the Yankees, where it's like, they're the Yankees, 27-time World Series champions. They're a great team. They're the best team in baseball. Just a general perception of what the Yankees are supposed to be to, like, forget a casual fan, just like a casual person. Like, I got my sister staying over this week. Like, if she was watching this eighth inning last night, I would be like, yeah, this is the Yankees. That was a representable performance by Grisham, by Rice, battling, working the count full, fouling pitches off, making things happen. I was proud to be a Yankee fan. I mean, I'm always proud to be a Yankee fan, no matter what. Let's get that clear. But it was beautiful. It could almost bring a tear to my eye. And again, Grisham specifically, he is really, really playing well. Again, last night with that, let me just make sure exactly what it was. Yeah, Grisham goes 2-for-4 with a walk. His OBP, again, is now above 340. We talked about it yesterday. Entering last night's game, he was hitting 375 over his last 15. So his hot stretch continues. He's really rounding into form, and his OPS is now up to 743. We're not going to get too much into stats here, because that's not what this is about. But that was incredible. Yanks tied up. And then, of course, you had the Brian Rocchio play, which was insane. Nothing you could do here. Now, some would say Jazz had one job, which was to elevate the ball. Fair enough. But, hey, he hit that ball. It wasn't a dinky, you know, little ground ball out the middle. It was relatively hard hit. And, first of all, should have just been a base hit. Rocchio makes a great diving stop. And then somehow is able to turn two on Jazz. So, not to mention the fact of Jazz was robbed of a hit. And then it's Jazz Chisholm Jr. running. He's fast as hell. Rocchio somehow turns that into a DP. Nothing you could do. That's one of those moments. And there were a few of these last night where you just tip your cap. Great play by Rocchio. Game remains tied at 5. But out of everything last night, and there was a lot, that was my favorite moment to discuss. That eighth inning, the Grisham at bat, the Rice at bat, and everything the way that transpired. Because we were feeling down at that moment. You give up the two-run shot to Angel Martinez. Paul Blackburn did, which we can get into that now. And, you know, it was very much deflating because early on you have the Paul Goldschmidt two-run shot in the first inning, which, incredible. He continues to not just be great against lefties, but still a lethal force against righties. We know that against lefties he's been terrific, and that's been the case since last year. And the splits do remain still pretty stark. Like, he's elite against lefties, but he's certainly not been incompetent against righties like we saw, particularly towards the tail end of last year. Another home run off not just a righty pitcher, a really good one in Gavin Williams. Yanks go up 2-0. You have the Ryan McMahon home run, which we always joke on the watch parties, but it's not even so much a joke anymore. It's like, he's been incredibly clutch. You know, yesterday, going into the game, I was mentioning on the Yankees Avenue pregame on Instagram how I really liked yesterday's lineup, given the circumstances, obviously, you know, without Judge, without Stan, without Jason. And somebody was saying, like, well, McMahon's in there. I'm like, McMahon's been playing pretty well lately. He was hitting 278 over his last 7 games entering yesterday. We know about his defense at third base. And he'll just be randomly clutch. And yesterday was another one of those moments. He, at the time, it was tied up after probably the worst part of that game was whatever inning it was. I think it was the third inning where you had the Warren wild pitch, a bad error by Jose Caballero, which brutal timing on that. And somebody did push back a little bit on me how I didn't post a Caballero like I did Volpe. Completely a fair point. I will take that L. By the time, you know, he said that, it was a little too late for me to do so. But awful time for that Jose Caballero error after yesterday's show and just where we're at. But everything that we said yesterday remains. Jose Caballero obviously should be the Yankees' everyday shortstop. We know that. Anyways, that was a rough inning. The third Yankees, Guardians, tied up. And Nick Mann delivers the go-ahead home run. So we're feeling good. And then Angel Martinez, two-run go-ahead bomb off of Paul Blackburn. Let's talk about that. That's not Aaron Boone's fault. He can only go to the guys that are available to him. And guys who are available to him are two long relievers in Paul Blackburn, who has been pretty good. This is nothing against Blackburn. This is nothing against Boone. And the same logic applies to Ryan Yarbrough, who did get a very big out of Jose Ramirez. But if we're going to play the blame game here, which I know people like to do, and understandably so, it's like, yeah, why is Paul Blackburn pitching in this spot? I'm with you. That's a Cashman problem. Now, I'm not going to go at Cashman for, you know, every issue there is in the world, like some people like to do. Cashman has built a team that I am very happy with, especially the long-term product, assuming the bullpen does get upgraded. The bullpen, in the meantime, the lack of depth, hopefully won't cost us the division. I don't think it will. Could it cost us the one seed, even if we do upgrade come July? Hopefully not. But Paul Blackburn is going to get into that game at some point or another. Now, the bullpen outside of Blackburn yesterday, again, not getting on him, not getting on Boone, it's like, that's unfortunately the guy he has to go to there. Like, Blackburn should not be having to pitch those high leverage innings, but he was. And right away, because of the two-run shot to Angel Martinez, later gets out of it. Ryan Yarbrough, again, same deal. He shouldn't have to be pitching where he was. He does, you know, get Jose Ramirez out, which was a big out. But, yo, the Yankee bullpen yesterday was, outside of that homer, was terrific, yo. I mean, Brent Hedrick got some big outs. Jake Bird got some big outs. Tim Hill, some really big outs. I'll say this about Bird, by the way. In the meantime, given the state of our bullpen, and until, like, LeGrande gets up here, I do want to, I think, kind of just, this isn't ideal either, but given where we're at, Bird looked pretty good last night. And there's times where Bird has come through with some big outs. So I would not be against going to him more. If, you know, this is the bullpen we're going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future, which outside of a LeGrande call-up, which we'll see when that's going to be, hopefully soon. You know, obviously, this is the situation that we're in. I say just go to Jake Bird when you can, because at the very least, he's capable of getting strikeouts. And that's one issue with Paul Blackburn. He's been pretty good, but again, he should be like the last man in your bullpen. He'd be having a good year for, if he was, yeah, the last guy in the bullpen, your long man, but he's being used in high leverage situations, which is certainly not ideal. And especially because he's not all that capable of being relied upon to get a strikeout. Jake Bird, while has been disappointing to Yankee, we know that when he's on, he can get some strikeouts. And he did yesterday, he got two. But, yo, the Yankee bullpen was awesome yesterday. It really, really was. Again, outside of that Angel Martinez homer. But, and I think Boone navigated it really well. David Bednar, got a shout out to him. He was terrific and he looked good. I know in the 10th inning, it was, you know, kind of like classic Bednar stress. In fairness, the only base runner Bednar allowed last night, period, was the leadoff walk in the 10th, which, you know, that makes us stress out a little bit. But in the end, Bednar was good last night. He gets the job done. And I know he hasn't been perfect. In the end, he's 13 for 15 in saves this season, one of which was a extra innings blown save against Tampa Bay. So, you know, kind of unfair to totally blame that on him because the ghost runner and all that. The one against the Mets was really bad, but 13 for 15 in saves, like, we've seen worse closers for the Yankees. We've seen better, certainly. But I always kind of hammered home that Bednar is not Camilo Duvall. Now, Duvall last night, actually, I thought looked pretty good. Now, I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig, and not everything is, you know, totally gorgeous about last night's game. But I do want to also mention it for the Grisham play in center field. Of course, he, you know, dive and catch in center and ends up being later overturned that he trapped the ball, which was the correct call. I still am a little bit weird the fact that Patrick Bailey was awarded second base. Now, obviously, if he went back to first base because of the call by the umpire, then that makes sense. You would place him on second base because the call was overturned. To me, it looks like he went back to first under his own discretion. Now, obviously, I guess he could have heard the umpire call that he was out and then went back. To me, it looked like Patrick Bailey also thought Grisham caught the ball, and he went back voluntarily to first base. So when Grisham throws in and they get the out at the force out at second at the time, I don't know, that still stands out as a little bit weird to me, but obviously no harm, no foul. Tim Hill ends up getting out of it. But there was a few weird things from last night's game. I mean, the catcher's interference play on the who was it? Jose Ramirez. It was I believe was it Jose Ramirez, which ended up not being the end of the world. And even at the time, it's like, all right, it sucks because you had two strikes on him, so it was a little bit like, all right, I wanted to get J-Ram out there, but like him taking first base like wasn't the complete end of the world, but. Still, I don't doubt the rule. The rule is that, and for those who didn't see, it was not a hit by pitch, but J.C. Ascara, when he caught it, his glove hit Jose Ramirez's foot, which that makes sense that it's catcher's interference, but it's one of those things where it's kind of like, all right, that rule is correct. Like, come on, like have some feel here. Does that feel right to you? To me, it didn't. Again, no harm, no foul, but so many intense moments from yesterday's game. And a big reason why the Yankees were able to come out and win this one was the fact that the Guardians ran out of challenges early. That umpire last night, he had a big zone, a very big zone. And I'll tell you, I mean, we definitely got the better of it. Now, we fortunately saved our challenge, which ended up proving to be huge for many reasons. One, the fact that the Guardians ran out and they had a lot of calls against them that were not strikes. Some of them really brutal, and they had, you know, they couldn't overturn it because they ran out of challenges so early. The umpire zone against them, I felt like, was even worse than it was against us. But one case where it was bad against us was the Max Schumann at bat. The Max Schumann at bat where Ben Rice is intentionally walked in the 10th. This is all before Bellinger delivered the go ahead hit. And Schumann, this 3-1 pitch right here, obviously a ball, called the strike though. And right away, Schumann challenges. He knows it's the ball. We all knew it was a ball. And, he ends up taking first, and that was, of course, big, and that brought up Cody Bellinger, who, of course, we know would go on to deliver the go-ahead hit. But, yo, great job by Max Schumann. He is part of the reason why I'm still really high on this bench that we have. And one note on the bench, by the way, as we see the go-ahead single by Bellinger again. By the way, the Schumann getting thrown out of third base, it's fine. Nobody cares. Something on the bench, a big question being asked is, what do you do when Goldschmidt or when Stanton comes back? Like, how do you get Rice, Goldschmidt, and Stanton all in the lineup at once? And the answer to that is obvious. You would catch Ben Rice. I'm telling you, we've talked about this before. This is one thing where if the Yankees, and I wish they would actually come out and say this. Brian Cashman did kind of leave it out in the open that, like, maybe they will catch Rice at some point. I don't think they want to. And I wish they would kind of come out and say it. Be like, Ben Rice is our cornerstone first baseman, homegrown, one of the best hitters in baseball. We need his bat in the lineup, especially with Judge out. I mean, Austin Wells, who his MRIs came back clean, by the way. We know he's on the IL. Catchers get beat up, as we know. I'm good off Rice dealing with that. I think it's like if that's an option, all right, work. Catch him from time to time, sure, like we saw last year. And that would allow you, of course, to catch Rice, play Goldschmidt, and then DH Stanton. The only other way you could do it would be if you wanted to put Stanton in right on the occasion. We did see that last year when Judge was dealing with his arm injury. Cashman didn't rule out that as well at some point. That's obviously not ideal, though. I'll say, like, if catching is still in Ben Rice's back pocket, then yes, there should be some times where you catch him. But personally, and this is kind of like a hot take or whatever, which you guys know I don't ever say hot takes for the sake of, I resent that idea. I would almost rather the Yankees come out and be like, Ben Rice is not a catcher. We're dropping that. He is our first baseman for the next 10 years. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. For one, just the reason alone of, I'm good off him getting beat up like we know catchers do, and we see what happened with Austin Wells. Also, too, like, Ben Rice is still new to the position of first base. Now, I think he's actually looked pretty good at first this year, but I would just like for him to, if we're not going to catch him, which we haven't so far this year, be like, lose your catcher's mitt. You're a first baseman. Continue to work on that. We need you to stay healthy. You're a big part of this team for the reason of you're one of the best hitters in baseball. That's the way it is, in my opinion. So that's really the only way you can get to, you know, all three of them being in the same lineup unless you play Stanton and Wright. With that said, Stanton comes back, let's say, and you're going to play Rice every single day. So let's say, assuming Stanton is DHing and Rice isn't catching, Rice is your first baseman, Stanton's at DH. Paul Goldschmidt still will serve a huge role in this team because, one, Stanton's not going to play every single day, and you probably want to plan his off days around, despite, I think my internet dropped. We should be good now. You guys got me? Word. All right, we're good. Sorry about that. Despite 1 year where Stanton wasn't good against lefties, he still remains a force against them. Goldschmidt probably will DH against lefties still when Stanton returns. And with that, you just plan it around Stanton getting an off day, which you're not going to play him every single day, even when he's fully healthy, but especially coming off injury. Goldschmidt off the bench still serves a huge role on this team because going back to Schumann, going back to, you know, the depth that we talk about with Ahmed Rosario, this being the best Yankee bench since 2019, maybe even before then, Goldschmidt, starting or not, is going to play a huge role on this team. He's part of why I'm so high on our possibility of getting back to the World Series. And come that point against the Dodgers, whoever it may be, you just look at it as a baseball series. We are built way better this year for 162, as we're seeing with the injuries. And now, you know, Goldschmidt's been playing every day and he's been great. Another home run yesterday. Or just being a bat off the bench. No matter what, starting or not, everyday playing or not, what Paul Goldschmidt is doing this year will serve like a significant role regardless whether he's playing in the starting lineup or a bat off the bench. Same with Ahmed Rosario, and Max Schumann plays into this role as well. Max Schumann now has fully come into the role of utility, especially with, you know, Jose Caballero. You would like to think the everyday shortstop. I would hope he's in there again today against the right-hander Ciccone. Tomorrow against Cleveland on Wednesday, we do face a left-hander. I imagine that'll probably be a Volpe start at shortstop, if I had to guess. But Schumann is now like the utility backup, can play anywhere, and he gives you a damn good at-bat, as we've seen all season long, and we saw last night. Like I really like Max Schumann. He kind of falls into the, Bellinger is the poster child of all this, where it's like, now obviously I didn't watch the 90s Yankees, but, you know, I read a lot of books. I watch Yankeeography. I'm well-versed on the history and just like the vibe of those teams. Obviously I didn't watch them, and I hate when people like pretend like, you know, they know stuff that they don't, but just work with me here. I understand, for the most part, without having watched the 90s Yankees, what a 90s Yankee is all about. Bellinger fits that bill to a T. I feel like Paul Goldschmidt fits that bill to a T. And for a bench player, correct me if I'm wrong, like I'm asking you guys who watch this 90s teams, Schumann kind of feels like he falls into that billing as well a little bit off the bench. He's a good ball player, works a good at bat, and he's just like, for what he is, he feels like a damn good Yankee right now. So shout out to Max Schumann. He's not going anywhere. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the roster move will be come Friday or whatever it may be when Jason returns. At the very least, we know, knock on wood, barring a setback or anything, Jason and Stanton are coming back basically within the next like week or so. Again, it should be Jason back on Friday, Stanton back as possibly as soon as a week from today, next Tuesday against the White Sox at home. Boone said the homestand is when he should return. It's going to be interesting to see what the Yankees do, because to me, it's obvious the plan should be what you already did a few weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was. They're going to have to option Volpe because you're not sending Schumann down. Now, obviously, Jones will go down at some point, too. Like, Jason will be up, but we're talking Jason and Stanton both returning. So there's two roster moves, one of which will be Jones goes down. I mean, who else? You're not sending Schumann down. No chance. So to me, it almost comes off as a certainty, or at least it should be a certainty, that come the full return of both Jason and Stanton, Volpe should, obviously, but I think he will be sent down. And it's a clear, obvious reason as to why. For everything we talked about yesterday, he shouldn't be the starting shortstop, especially because more so Caballero is so great at the position, despite the error last night, which, again, terrible timing for that error. But just like off the bench, I mean, we saw Volpe pinch hit yesterday. Like, not taking a one at-bat sample size of him as a pinch hitter, we knew this going in. Like, Volpe's not somebody you want to go to off the bench. He plays one position. He was working out at second base yesterday, but Max Schumann is the better option off the bench, clearly. We know that. It doesn't even have to be discussed. So, I don't know. We've said a lot there, but it's going to be very interesting to see what the Yankees decide to do come Jason and Stanton's return, because Jones will be one of the moves that goes down. By the way, Jones, very impressive yesterday, where he, a couple big swings against Cade Smith, two strikes, and then he lines a single against the shift, hard hit, which he didn't end up scoring, but at the time it was a big leadoff single. So, shout out to Spencer Jones for that. I'm trying to think anything else from yesterday's game specifically that we haven't talked about, but the main point is here that was a big win yesterday. That was a damn good win, and for many reasons. One, just to kind of ease the narrative of the Yankees can't beat good teams, which certainly would have continued last night all over the web had they not beaten Cleveland. Obviously, we know about their struggles on the road and extra innings. Overcame that last night for many reasons, and just like the fact of isolated in itself, the feel of last night's game was such a postseason feel. And both teams clearly wanted to win that game bad. And the Yankees ended up coming out on top. Big shout out, don't want to gloss over this, to Cody Bellinger. I mean, that was, he has two strikes, goes the other way, go ahead, two run single. And it just continues everything we've talked about him already, which is that just, it really could not have been going better since he came over as the replacement for Juan Soto. Now, we've since replaced Juan Soto with Ben Rice. Truly, he's wearing 22. We've talked about it a lot. Production has been replaced. But in terms of, like, the plan B directly of you lose Soto, or who's your outfielder playing left now or whatever, it's obviously Cody Bellinger. Last year, he was terrific. And then, of course, the offseason, a little bit of a, you know, classic negotiations, not show friends, it's show biz. That's how it works. We end up bringing him back, and he's having an even better year than he did last year. Also, too, now two hits last night for Bellinger. We know about his home road splits, which this year would have been even more stark of a difference than last year, which he was better at home last year than on the road. This year, it's been like a big, big gap, like one that OPS at home. I think his OPS may still be like in the 500s on the road, but we've now seen him with, you know, last week's road trip against Kansas City, against Oakland, Sacramento, whatever, had a couple home runs. He's starting to pick it up on the road. And then yesterday against Cleveland, two hits, and obviously that big one in the 10th inning. Bellinger, I mean, he's the kind of guy, obviously, and we've all described him as this, whether it be, you know, me being on the younger side, which, hey, I'm 26 now, so I'm getting older, but also, you know, the older crowd would just refer to him as a ball player. That's exactly what he is. And he's somebody, again, that you're just proud to be a Yankee fan when you watch him up at the plate. And yesterday's game, in general, was overall just, I was proud to watch the Yankees last night, and I came out of that just feeling really, really good. We were live for the whole thing. You had the ups, you had the downs, and I'm so glad we had the downs, because that's what makes the ups so good, yo. And that applies to everything, life. Not to go all philosophical here again, but that's just kind of how I am, but truly how I see things. Like, I'm glad Blackburn gave up that go-ahead two-run shot, because that made the 10th inning so much better. Same with how good I feel right now. If, God forbid, the Yankees were to lose tonight, knock on wood, and I don't think they will. Like, it's all part of it. When you lose Judge, that's a low. But then when you win a game like you do last night without Judge, and you think, all right, we can get by in the meantime, it makes that high so much better, yo. It's like, that's life. That's baseball. Yesterday's game was baseball. I mean, that was an example of why we love this sport so much. That game last night. Not every game will be that way, as we know. Hopefully tonight is a little bit less stressful. You know, going into it, I don't want to stress out that much going into a ball game. But ultimately, all I care about is the Yankees win. And last night they did that. That was a damn good freaking victory. And with that, we enter play today with tied for first place still. Rays, again, they won against Boston yesterday. They're 38-25. We're 39-26. I know the winning percentage, nobody cares, but held their ground yesterday. Held their ground. For many reasons, that was a big win. But just keeping it to, you know, the AL East, obviously, that speaks for itself. We would have been in second place today had we not secured that victory, and we did. So, shout out to everybody we already talked about. We don't got to go through it all again, but that was an awesome, awesome victory. And now, just like if it were to be a loss, not that we forget about it, but we move on to today. We move on today. It's a brand new day, and that's another reason why this freaking sport is so great. Loss, win, you get to do it all again today. Like, I'm pumped for in a minute. We're about to preview game two. Yankees Guardians. Game two in the Bronx, Cleveland, tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I do want to go through some other updates really quick. Some quick notes. So we already mentioned Jason. He's going to be rehabbing Tuesday and Wednesday. Hopefully could return Friday against Toronto. Remember, Boone said he wasn't going to rule out him returning in this road trip, which we know is not in the series against Cleveland, but we're off on Thursday. Jason rehabbing today and Wednesday. It just lines up, reading the tea leaves. This is pure speculation, but I'm thinking he could slash should slash will return Friday against Toronto, which would be huge. Stanton, we mentioned. Boone said he's expected to return during next week's homestand, which gets going a week from today on Tuesday against the White Sox. Whether it be that game in particular, a week from today, or just at some point, we know Jason and Stanton are coming back soon. So we'll just kind of leave it there. We'll find out exactly when it'll be. Some other notes, really one more note. Austin Wells, I think we mentioned this, but his MRI came back clean. Boone said, what was his quote on it? He said, so far, so good. I'm sure he'll meet with the doctor again this week, and then hopefully he'll be able to start ramping up. I mean, we can just leave it there, but just to keep you guys updated on the news and all that. Wells, MRI, he's all good, and then Jason and Stanton should be returning soon. Freed, still waiting on him to meet with the doctor to clear him to get back on a mound. We know he's been throwing at 120 feet. I would expect a July return for Freed, no doubt, but honestly, at this point, like, Freed can take his time. Like, all I really care about with, same logic with Judge, not that, you know, I want to have our team for the regular season, don't get me wrong, but especially with the rotation, like, we can get by if we were just be like, yo, Freed, like, I look forward to seeing you in the second half. Like, take your time, let's get you back to start the second half, and then we'll go from there. But he's progressing well. Things are trending up, yo, and he knew at some point they would. And again, they'll trend down at some point, too. There'll be a point where, you know, we're not feeling great about a certain loss or a certain injury, knock on wood. Hopefully not, but this is how it goes. And like when it happens, we're not going to handle like a bunch of P words, Chad. Like that's just, and I freaking love what we got going on here, yo, because it is no longer like, I'm telling you, it's not cool anymore to be a doomer and a gloomer. I'm not saying you got to be baselessly optimistic. And I certainly do lean glass half full, but I'm sorry. Like I'm not watching the freaking Colorado Rockies right here, yo. And I'm not just going to assume this season's not going to work out because of years past. Do we honestly think, I'm 26 years old. Do we honestly think, let's just say I get to live, hopefully, till the age of 100. I'm never going to see a Yankees World Series in my lifetime. Even if it's 2077. Let's just say, from the heavens above, our dear Lord and Savior came down to me and he said, Dan, I'll tell you this. I can promise you one thing. Before you move on to the afterlife, you will see a Yankees World Series. He didn't tell me when it's going to be. For all I know, it's going to be 2070. For all I know, it's going to be 2099, right before I move on. Or for all I know, it'll be 2026. So I'm not just going to operate every single year because the Yankees haven't won since 09 that we're never going to win again. At some point, it'll happen. Take the Knicks, for example. Tough loss last night, but they'll be fine. Tough loss last night, but whatever. Did Knicks fans think it would happen this year that they'd be in the finals? Maybe last year they did. Maybe earlier this year they did. But even just a few years back. Before you know it, we will be there. And before you know it, we might be able to win that series against the Dodgers. And that's something I'm going to maintain that thought process until I can't, which goes back to that quote we mentioned a few days ago, which is a great quote. I didn't come up with myself. I wish I did, but it's fantastic, which is all defeat, any defeat until death is psychological. Until the Yankees are bounced at the end, until they're eliminated in the postseason, which if you are a believer that'll happen at some point, word up. I'll have my day to complain about it too, but I'll do it then. Not right now. Not when Judge is out, not when, you know, the bullpen isn't as great as it should be, as I want it to be, because the bullpen will get upgraded. The bullpen is still capable, as we saw last night, of getting some big outs. The Yankees are still capable of winning games without Aaron Judge. So that's just kind of where I'm at. And it's beautiful, yo. That's life. That's baseball. Yeah, the sun is shining today. The Yankees won a game last night, so I'm even more optimistic than I already would be. But you guys know how it rolls. Same vibe on Friday when Judge went down. It's like, all right, this is a little bit of adversity. Let's get through it, because at some point, it'll be over. And we'll be happy with how we handled ourselves in the meantime, that we weren't a bunch of B-words while things got tough. Last night, things weren't tough. They were in the process, but the result was one that I am very, very proud of. Yankees win 7-5, and we got some reinforcements coming soon. Jason coming back, Stanton coming back, Freed at some point soon, too. And also, by the way, Judge will be coming back. Cap, rest up. I love you so much, and I will see you soon. Yeah, dude, last night was awesome. And then tonight, which we will be live tonight for Game 2, Yankees Guardians in Cleveland, 6:41 pitch. Reminder, tonight is an Amazon Prime game. And it'll be Garrett Cole on the bump for the Yanks, Slade Ciccone on the bump for the Guardians. Now, Ciccone's the Guardians' worst pitcher, but he pitched pretty damn well against us last week. He went six innings, one run. Cole last week had his worst start since returning against Cleveland, 5 1/3, four earned runs, one walk, two strikeouts. You know, got to be careful about I don't even remember. It was Manzardo who took him D. I think Rhys Hoskins may have taken him D too. Wasn't a great start for Cole. Wasn't putrid either. And at some point, just like we talked about with Cam, with any pitcher, you know, like who's one of the best pitchers going right now? Jacob Mizrowski. He'll have a clunker at some point. Paul Skeens has had a couple clunkers. Like we know that. That doesn't need to be said. It was inevitable at some point Cole wouldn't have a great start. Hopefully he bounces back tonight. And until he doesn't, I'm going to anticipate that he will. And this is kind of a random side note. Nothing to do with like a preview of tonight's game. But I'm just thinking about Cole in Cleveland. You know, it makes you think a little bit of 2022 ALDS Game 4, where he turned in a season-saving performance at the time. Makes you think a little bit of Josh Naylor and all that. I look forward to Cole tonight. I'm pumped. I am freaking pumped. So, Cole versus Ciccone in Cleveland tonight, Game 2. And Yanks are going for the 40th win. You know what? Let's also do a little checking on what the Rays are up to today. I know they're playing Boston, but let me see who's pitching for them. I hope it's not McClanahan. Let's see. It's Nick Martinez. And guess what? That's good. He's coming back to the means. Do we really think somebody that has 42 strikeouts and 72/3 innings pitch was going to maintain a 1.5 ERA? Dude, I bet you Nick Martinez's ERA will be closer to 4 than it is to a 3 by season's end. Anyways, he'll be on the bump for the Rays tonight against Peyton Toll. I forget if it's Toll or Tolley, the left-hander for Boston. But anyways, obviously, if the Rays were to go on to lose today, we'll see. And, you know, vice versa with us. But a Rays loss, a Yankees win, which would be the Yankees' 40th win, would put us in first place, sole possession of first place in the AL East. But obviously, we have no control of what they do. I guess technically we have no control over what the Yankees do. Rose said that to me yesterday, and it bugged me so much. He was saying, like, Dan, you know, I'm really happy for you, blah, blah, blah. We were talking about, you know, the GameStop presenting sponsor and all that. And I was like, yeah, like, they're happy and all. It's going well. And I was saying to Rose how, like, the last few years, you know, it's cool. I've been kind of under, like, a 5 year without knowing, like, mentorship of Chris Rose. A lot of things that he does, you know, I like to play sound now. I get that from Chris Rose. The way I do ad reads will be similar to Chris Rose. And I'm like, you know, a lot of the way you do things I've taken from, it's been like a little mentorship. Anyways, we were talking, he's saying, like, I'm happy for you, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're doing what you want to do, blah, blah. I'm like, well, what I want to do, Rose, is win a World Series. And he was like, well, Danny Boy, you have no impact over that. And I was so pissed. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean I have no impact over that, Rose? He's like, you don't. And I disagree. I disagree, Chad. Because for all I know, if I go out there today, I'm going to go to the office after this, and I'm going to get a nice protein shake from 7-Eleven. And I'll greet that man with a smile, my guy Paul at 7-Eleven. And I'll say, how the hell are you, Paul? And I'll say, Dan, good to see you. And then he'll be in a good mood. For all I know, let's see, who's pitching today? Cole? Cole's second cousin comes in that very same 7-Eleven. And because Paul's in a good mood because I treated him well and was a good guy and just friendly banter, he's really nice to Cole's second cousin. Cole's second cousin remembers that this happens to be the anniversary of him and Amy Cole and gets Garrett Cole a nice gift. And he goes into tonight's start in a great mood because of that. And he pitches damn well against the Cleveland Guardians. I always say it. I wish I could be Spider-Man. I wish I had spider powers. Maybe one day I will. I wish I could be a Jedi. As of right now, I am not. That's the closest I can be. Is this goes for all of us. Now this is freaking like motivational madness YouTube channel. But you never know the impact you can make making the world a better place. I'm not saying I do it all the time. But when things are going well, that's the way I like to think. And I'll tell you, Chris Rose, I think I and we do have an impact on the Yankees' chances to win. For that reason alone. And for all I know, other reasons as well. That's going to do it for this episode, though, yo, chat. I got to get out of here. I got to go to the office. I love you all so much. We'll be live tonight, 6 o'clock, for the pregame, right around 6 o'clock. First pitch, 6:40 on Amazon Prime. And, yeah, yo, that's all I got. Everybody have a great rest of your day. It's a beautiful Tuesday. And Knicks, yo, Knicks will be fine. Just a loss. We're chilling. I'm not a huge Knicks fan, but you know, I understand how sports works. They're still up 2-1. Game 4 is very important. But that said, it's not Knicks Avenue. Not my place to talk about it. But Yanks tonight. Yanks tonight. Let's take care of business again. Going for win number 40, and hopefully the Rays lose too. Not going to worry about that, though, until the time comes. For now, have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you next time tonight. Till then, let's go Yanks.